The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
We return now to that story, though, of Paul Reid, the HSE chief executive, should I say, outgoing HSE chief executive. He announced he's going to be stepping down from his position later this year. Our chief reporter, Barry White, has been asking people, should I say, on the streets of Dublin what they made of his tenure.
Well, I liked his style during the pandemic. I found the way he spoke kind of reassuring. That was a very difficult role for anybody to have to go through, like it was unprecedented territory. Now, I know people will criticise him and say, you know, he's paid such a good salary, well, he might do the job. But when has, as I was talking to my friend earlier, when has anybody been able to do anything with that health service to change? It really is a poison chalice. So, yeah, I like Paul Reid.
There are far too many people on big earnings, and they're just sitting behind desks making it difficult for everybody else who's trying to do their jobs. That's my opinion. They let down so many factions of society, especially people like disabled, elderly people. They've all been left behind, and there's enough money in this country to run the health service properly.
Yeah, different views being expressed to our reporter Barry White a little bit earlier today. Róisín Shortall is a Social Democrat TD co-leader of the party. Róisín, what's your assessment of Paul Reid's tenure?
I think, good evening, Kieran. I think it's difficult enough to gauge that given the fact that two of the last 3 years during his time at the helm, we've been dealing with the issue of the pandemic. And, you know, I think, in fairness, the performance of the HSE during that period was pretty good, and especially in relation to the rollout of the vaccines. I suppose when it comes to reform of the health service and the provision of adequate services, the performance hasn't been as good. There's been reasons for that. But obviously it's essential that a senior person within the health service is, you know, on the same page as the minister, and that there's a full, you know, senior team there that is at one in terms of what needs to be done in the health service. And I'm very concerned that, you know, Paul Reid now in announcing his departure today joins a whole slew of other senior people within the health service who have left in recent times. And we're in a situation now where there's great uncertainty, I think, within the health service. And it's not clear why exactly he left. He's only 3 years into a five-year term, and he hasn't really spelled out the reasons for him going. And I think it's important that we know exactly why he's chosen to announce this.
Well, there's different views as to why he and others might have left. There is talk, and there's always mutterings behind the scenes of tensions between the HSE and the Department of Health and the Minister for Health at the moment. There's another school of thought, and it's maybe the simpler solution, which is just that COVID was just so all-consuming for people at senior levels within the Department of Health and the HSE that it's understandable there'd be something of an exodus once it was over. And I say over with inverted commas.
Well, I fully accept that, you know, the last 2 years have been extremely challenging for everybody across the health service, and particularly, I suppose, for people who, you know, had the senior responsibility there, as well as frontline people. But, you know, Paul Reid has said from the beginning and has said in recent times that he's very enthusiastic about the reform of the health service. But it is curious, I think, that this announcement has come at a time when there are serious strains between the HSE, the Department of Health and the Minister for Health in relation to, for example, the reconfiguration of the health services and specifically in relation to Navan. And I heard him on the airwaves yesterday, you know, I heard Paul Reid talking about, you know, his plans to go ahead with that reconfiguration programme. The Minister had a very different idea, and like, you can't really do a job like that unless, as I say, yourself and the Minister are at one about what is required.
Well, let's talk about the bigger reconfiguration plan, which of course is Sláintecare, and Liam Doran is with us as well. Liam is the former General Secretary of the INMO, the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation, former member of the Sláintecare Implementation Council as well. Liam, I mean, the torpedoing, if we'll put it that way, maybe that's a bit of hyperbole on my part, but the torpedoing of the Sláintecare reform plans, I mean, do you lay much of the blame for that at the feet of Paul Reid, or was it a victim of COVID?
Oh, I think it was partially a victim of COVID, but I think the biggest offender with the non-implementation of Sláintecare as it was originally envisaged and as it still should be done is the Department of Health. I mean, they're the policy body and the political will behind it, or the lack of political will behind it. I think, in fairness, as Roisin has just said, I think during Paul's tenure, I think it was overshadowed and overwhelmed and absolutely, you know, totally dominated by the pandemic. And however, I think the pace of willingness to change, to decentralise, to implement the regional health authorities, to get into grips with new contracts for consultants and GPs, to really devolve budget holding and devolve decision making, that was progress at a snail's pace. And I think all people in senior positions have some responsibility for that. But the greater responsibility, in fairness to Paul and his colleagues, because they were dealing with the pandemic, the greater responsibility, in my view, lies with the political system and the Department of Health, who had the time, notwithstanding a pandemic, they had the time, they had the space, they had the resources to push forward those policy changes, but they chose not to.
And then to bring it back to Paul Reid, I mean, is it just simply a case that in, you know, 5, 10, 15 years' time, if people are writing kind of the potted history of different CEOs of the HSE, that Paul's tenure will just be about COVID? Like, he was only in the gig, I think, less than 10 months when COVID became all-consuming. And after that, talk of kind of budgets and waiting lists and reform and what have you kind of went out the window on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, you know, I think that is probably the way history is going to judge. And that has nothing to do with Paul. He didn't.
No.
He was in the wrong place at the wrong time in terms of doing much of what you might want to do. He came in, the pandemic dominated it. The HSE, as Roisin has said, did a fair good job, primarily because of the brilliance and the excellence and the commitment of the frontline staff 24-7 for weeks on end. They delivered the services that people wanted. But at a higher level, we only survived the pandemic by deferring other healthcare, which is now, if you like, coming back. We have overcrowding in ED, we have long waiting lists and so on. So I think the huge challenge that faces the health service now, as it, and you'll say pandemic is not over, but shall we say somewhat more even keel, the greatest challenge is how we deal with the unmet care of the last 3 years, with the growing demographics, the lack of acute beds and so on. And I think that's a huge ask, and perhaps Paul decided that the last 3 years was enough and the next five would have been a bigger commitment for his family and so on. And I fully respect that and so on, because the health service today is in every bit and more of a challenged position as it was 3 years ago, 5 years ago and 10 years ago, about meeting demand in a safe, equitable and proactive patient-friendly fashion.
And is that, I want to bring in Stephen McMahon in just a moment from the get the patient's point of view, but Liam, whoever does take over, and I suppose there's question marks over who that might be, Anne O'Connor was the obvious successor to many, but she's left as well. Is it that reform, that body of work on reform that is the number one priority for you, for whoever takes over this job?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We will not ever address the shortcomings of our health services, whether that be staffing, whether that be physical capacity, human capacity, whether that be, if you like, work practices. We won't change those until we implement staunch care the way it was meant to be implemented. And that requires political will, sustained political will. The plan is there, the policy is there, the obvious need is there. And whoever takes over from Paul, in the absence of that political will, that departmental, ministerial-led will to change, then the HSE will continue to, if you like, manage on a reactive basis every day, because that's the nature of healthcare. And that's a very, very difficult job to have, in fairness to anyone who holds it. And without shape, commitment, political backup, and a lack of tension for the first time in decades, a lack of tension between the political side, the departmental side, and HSE, we won't get the type of reform that this country needs to deliver a fair and equitable health service.
I mentioned Stephen McMahon from the Irish Patients Association is with us as well. Stephen, how well did you as an organisation work with Paul Reid?
Well, I mean, we only worked with Mr. Reid through the various departments within the health service executive itself. We didn't actually work directly with him. We would have had experience in the previous Tony O'Brien when he was CEO. He was a joint chair of the Emergency Department Task Force. But it was Anne O'Connor that was actually the person on behalf of the HSE that oversaw that. I mean, to be honest, I was very surprised this morning when I sort of got a flurry of texts, you know, after 10 o'clock informing me that Mr. Reid had resigned or due to go in the next couple of months. And certainly I would like to wish him and his family very well in the future. As your previous, as Deputy Shortall and Liam have pointed out there, you know, a large chunk of his activity was during the COVID, the pandemic in the early days. And that has to be, you know, not everything was done right, but most things were done right. And I think that, you know, that perhaps would be his legacy. But then on the other side, we can't escape the fact that we do have the items there that Liam mentioned from the point of view of before COVID, the overcrowding in emergencies, the serious patient safety issues there, and the long waiting list for almost one in two of people who don't have private health insurance are on some waiting list or other. And now the looming issue, I think there was a letter or an email reported in the last day or two from Mr. Reid to his senior managers about the issues of the spending, the actual budgets for the rest of the year and so on. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, we have to, as he said himself, that we're entering a new phase, and the appointment of a new leader there is timely. And one last point I'd like to make is, and I think it's important, probably links into what Deputy Shortall was saying, if this was a private public company where the chief executive, the chief operations officer, the director of one of the major activities in the organization, and the deputy director, and perhaps others have left, you would be asking questions. The shareholders would want to know, why is this actually happening? You know, like, I mean, I've heard, I understand the pressures and all the rest, but again, as Liam pointed out there, doctors and nurses and frontline staff equally worked under enormous pressures there to protect the public and save lives and so on and so forth. Yeah. So I think it's really
There's plenty of stories of those people maybe looking to other shores for work or retiring a little bit early as well. So maybe Paul Reid is no different in that regard. Stephen McMahon from the Irish Patients Association, thank you for your time. Liam Doran was with us as well. Liam is the former General Secretary of the INMO, former member of the Sláinte Care Implementation Council as well. And Roisin Shortall, Social Democrats co-leader. There's plenty still to come on the Hard Shoulder today. Barry Kenny of Irish Rail, he is in Moldova, of all places, volunteering with a charity. We're going to catch up with Barry. And after the break, we're going to be marking 2 years to the day since Micheál Martin became Taoiseach.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.